Do you dream about your next trip? You're in the right place. On the Time to Talk Travel podcast, we come to you weekly to share places to go and what to do when you get there. Let's dive into this week's adventure.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Time to Talk Travel. Today, we are talking about a topic that is important during months that include Earth Day and all year round, and that is the idea of sustainable and eco-friendly travel. What that looks like, how we're getting out into nature, how we're making sure our travel doesn't have a giant impact on the community or on the planet in a negative way. There are a lot of sustainable and eco-friendly travel options out there. We're going to dive into some of them. Who has stayed at a resort or a hotel that tied in the environment and the community in an eco-friendly way?
I have on a few. I stayed at Gran Vilas down in Riviera Maya, Mexico, where they had us plant a tree. As a resort guest, you had the option to help protect the environment. I've stayed at some in Florida where they're turtle friendly. It's a big deal not to have lights on at hotels at night. The turtles, when they hatch, get super confused if they're looking at hotel lights or they're looking at the moon. And so they've even got stickers on the window to make it very obvious, but it's something you should check if you're staying at a place, and everyone should care about that, in my opinion. It does no harm to you to turn your lights off or to shut the patio curtains so that the turtles aren't confused. I will tell you, I was at a hatching last year and I watched it firsthand where they were headed right up the dunes to this particular hotel, which is actually listed as eco-friendly. And I alerted the turtle because this is a matter near and dear to my heart, but yeah, it's not that hard. To me, this is a real marketing hot key term these days. Everybody wants to be eco-friendly and sustainable, and everybody's striving for it. Whether they actually are is another thing.
There's eco-friendly and eco-friendly. Everyone wants to be eco-friendly. So you always see the sign. Do you want a fresh towel or do you want to use your towel the whole time? Are they being eco-friendly or are they just cutting costs on labor materials? But I stayed at some that are truly eco-friendly. Hotels that allow you to give back and participate in their programs. Like when I stayed at the Sandals Beaches Resorts, we did volunteer work at local school. We got a look at their Ocean Futures program where they're helping rebuild the reefs there. And if you go back over time, it's really significant what they've contributed and how they've repopulated the reefs in the area of the hotel and offshore. So that's really great to see. But it really is only as good as the guests who are willing to do it, because I also was in Riviera Maya, and the resort that I was at was like, you must use reef-friendly sunscreen. This is a big deal. People have no idea, but a lot of the chemicals in sunscreens are very deadly to the reefs. So I went crazy ordering special sunscreens from Amazon and showing it to people and checking, is this one okay? No, that one's not the right certification. And I got to the resort and everybody was there with their copper tone, spraying it on, not at all reef friendly. Oh. And there's nobody really policing it. I think things are going to probably shift over the coming years to when there's a rule in place, somebody's got to police it.
Definitely. I know that with eco-friendly tourism, a lot of people immediately think of this idea of a sustainable resort or carbon offsets. It came about earlier than I realized when I was looking into it. Apparently, back in the early 80s, someone fused together the ideas of ecology and tourism, and they were talking about the four C's, which were conservation, community, commerce, and culture. And so the idea that it included not only conservation-minded items, which are those carbon offsets and the sustainable resorts and not making a lot of impact on the community, but also the idea of commerce and shopping small and going out in the community when you're there and infusing cash into it, and the idea of the culture. But even something as simple as following instructions and staying on trails when you're hiking is an eco-friendly way to travel, that you're not off breaking branches and disturbing habitats. I know that's a hot ticket item for Sharon.
Hot.
Absolutely. For me, I know ecotourism-wise, I actually love now, I know a lot of times now it's a labor saving thing to not send people in to clean every day. But when I was traveling for business and I'd flip the thing and say, don't replace my towels, I'd come back, they'd be replaced. I'd have them hanging up all nicely. And I feel like now at least I'm not having that negative of an impact because they're not coming in and changing my towels, even though I'm telling them not to. You're seeing things like those lights in hotel rooms. Tip, you can put pretty much any card in there and it'll put them on and off. So I know people don't love that, but you can stick a business card in there and it usually works.
There are some hotels that actually go well above that. And to me, those are the ones that are serious about it. I was reading about, there's one called One Hotel Brooklyn Bridge, mm-hmm. where the furniture is recycled, where they have timers in the shower that tells you, yeah, you've been in here too long. Yep. And ideas that I wanted to adopt even in my own home. You can tell that the locations, the destinations, airlines, cruises, what have you, that are serious about it, and those that are just talking the talk.
I think that something like a timer, you're not going to get everybody to comply, but just the reminder and just the presence of mind. One thing that I learned in my naturalist training was that you're not an enforcer. My job as a naturalist when I would speak in public is not to make people comply, but it's to educate people and to involve people and to make them understand their role, their stake, to make them identify with the problem and the solution and just have a greater understanding, because a lot of people are so divorced from their eco impact. The people that are collecting on the beach and destroying the beach habitats that I get so upset about, a lot of them just have no clue what they're doing and what the impact is and what it all means. So I think the best hotels and the best programs are the ones that really do involve the guests, from the kids on up to the adults, by putting a timer in and saying, hey, maybe you should think about this. Or, hey, did you know that otters are a keystone species, and without otters, we'd all probably die because, and then launch into the story of how otters eat the sea urchins that are invasive. And if the sea urchins are not controlled, then the kelp forests under the sea will die. If the kelp forests die, then we are in big trouble. Involving people in the whole story of it makes it feel more personal.
That's like the circle of life thing going on.
Yeah. And I was saying, even if where you're staying or how you got there wasn't the most eco-friendly, there are ways you can become more eco-friendly wherever it is you're visiting. Mm. Almost every city has a conservation group. If you don't want to sit around on the beach all day, you can absolutely ask to be involved with turtle conservation efforts and what have you. Some of them definitely want the year-round residents doing it, nobody else. But there's no reason you can't walk the beach yourself and let them know, hey, I saw a new nest. There are ways to connect with nature no matter where you go. Whether you're climbing the mountains, I'm a water baby, but I am doing a mountain climbing thing this summer. I'm going to the Utah National Parks. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be totally different for me.
And on the Utah front, my daughter is one of the two archaeologists at Zion National Park. She's deeply involved with preserving cultural heritage within the parks and making people aware that they can't disturb stuff. Part of eco-friendly is the history that we have created and not destroying things that are there that tell the story of us.
It's the whole leave no trace idea, which is the perfect segue into Utah and hiking. Like we were mentioning before, staying on trails and respecting where you are and not thinking you don't have to follow the rules that anyone else does, which we've talked about before. So Des, what have you learned in your preparation for your trip?
Because the parks have become so popular, you have to have permits for certain parks. A friend was like, oh, I'm so sorry you're going to Zion now. You've already missed the permit window. I missed the permit window for spring, but not summer. So in April, you get permits to be able to do things in July and August. Now, there are still nightly lottery drawings where you find out if you can hike the next day. I think they save half the permits for next day people. Do a lot of research on that. I'm probably hitting 6 or 7 parks in the week I'm going, 5 minimum. And 2 of them require permits for special hikes, not the entire park per se. Angel's Landing, I really want to do. I want to do the Wave. 2 of the spots I've researched so far, I needed to apply for permits and I had to do it now. It opened April 1st and it shuts like April 20th. But again, if you don't get the lottery drawing for that, there is a night before kind of thing. Do the research, and they're doing that to protect it, to make it not so overrun, because so often a lot of these destinations that we love so much because they're so beautiful are just being worn down, overrun, and left ugly. Like you said, leave no trace behind. I saw that at a beach I went to in Alabama, Gulf Shores. It's whether, like Sharon said, whether the people are going to actually pay attention and You can't police them. I'm not averse to picking up their garbage if I have to. If I'm the last one out on the beach that night.
You can't expect people to comply without education. Mm-hmm. And even with education, if they don't identify with the cause that you're asking them to embrace, they're never going to comply. It's the old catch more flies with honey approach. You really do have to find ways to involve people in ecotourism in many respects. And we've seen so much lip service from hotels that it was used just as a marketing ploy. But I think that those days are over. People are expecting more from ecotourism.
And I think one of the other things is people can do a lot of lip service about we collect the soap and recycle it with this program and all that. And that's fine. We don't know how much they're actually doing. They're signed up with them. That's great. However, there are ways you can check and make sure you're staying in a hotel that maybe was built the right way if it's a newer hotel. LEED certification is a huge thing. There's different levels, platinum, gold, silver. There's over 100 LEED certified platinum hotels in the world. And of that, a decent portion of those are in the US. Like we're talking over 60 of them are in the US. There's different levels. So there's 300 something gold ones, things like that. Now that is extremely regulated. It has to do with the building materials, like ways they face glass for the sun that impact how much energy it takes to heat or cool a location. If this is something that you're committing to, and you can look and see if there are any LEED certified options in the area you're staying in, it's a great way to show that's something you care about, especially if you can say that when you've made the reservation. Oh, I picked you guys because it's a LEED certified hotel. I love that. And I know they're trying to do it with a lot of office buildings and other things too, but it's definitely a huge item. I know that one of the shows that used to be run through a podcast company I worked with was Defining Hospitality. And he interviewed folks about LEED certifications with hotels and went through some of the different things that happened during that planning process and how that works. It was fascinating.
A lot of cruise lines are doing things to make cruises are the least eco-friendly thing in the world, but at least they're making an effort on a lot of ships. And a lot of them will give you tours of what they're doing, which is just fascinating. It's a little window into dropping the ocean, literally, of effort, but a lot of hotels will also show you what they're doing if you ask.
Definitely. From an airline standpoint, we know they are not eco-friendly. Basically, air travel has one of the biggest impacts on the environment. If any type of travel, train travel is the least if we're going by ways to get places. Obviously, if you walk or bike somewhere, that's slower. Airlines have carbon offsets available. They try to show they're being eco-friendly in how things are packaged or how they're bringing things on board, that they're doing recycling in certain areas of cans and bottles and all of that. Now, with the airlines, you can buy carbon offsets through the airlines. If that's something that you do, great. Always keep in mind that when you purchase something through a corporation, they are getting the benefit of being able to say, we're so eco-friendly, or you're doing it as a tax write-off. So when you donate it at a register, that money is being claimed by a corporation, not by you. There are companies you can do carbon offsets through, and some of them are nonprofits. So it could even be tax deductible. Looking into doing it independently and talking to a tax professional can actually get you credit at the end of the year if it's something you're already going
to
do.
That's great to know. I didn't know that. You just opened my mind. When you're checking out at TJ Maxx and they're like, would you like to give to St. Jude's? And I'm always like, yes, I love St. Jude's. You know what? I give to St. Jude's on my own. I should probably just say, you know what? You're right. Let me open my app and make a donation to St. Jude's.
My boyfriend complains about that every single time we check out. Every single time. So that Publix can get the tax discount.
Like, why am I going to fund them being able to say they got a bunch of money and then they get it back? It's a little annoying for me. I think there's only one store that I routinely do it at, and it like a couple of cents or whatever. But no. And one of my kids asked me once, why won't you donate 30 cents? Because I can donate it on my own. And then I'm not funding them being able to claim how great they are.
You want them to ring a bell and tell everyone in the store that you're a good person, though.
I'm good with not being a good person in that way. Oh my goodness. Some other neat things. One of the things, other than just having eco-friendliness baked in a little bit into what you're doing travel-wise, is that there can be some really cool experiences out there. when you stay at a resort or a destination that really dives into it full force or offers special things. I know that I've always liked it when things are grown on site, as far as vegetables and it's cutting down the carbon footprint of food moving. And those don't even have to be resorts or hotels. I know that for us, we have a restaurant in New Hampshire called Picketty Place. I grew up going there. It's near the Mass border in Mason, New Hampshire. They do this rotating monthly 7-course luncheon menu where they're growing a ton of stuff on the grounds, and it's very rustic and cute. And there's shops and there's a cat that roams around. It's something that my mother and my sister and I have always done together, special occasions. So I love that. I think for me, that's one of the ways I go a lot with eco-friendly is restaurants and picking restaurants that are doing local buys. And that's one of my favorite ways.
Farm to table is one of my favorite type of restaurants. There's a bunch in Paso Robles that I've been to. And that's huge in California as well, because we grow so much produce locally. There's just nothing better than locally or on-site grown produce in the food that you're consuming at a restaurant. It always tastes better. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the absolute freshness. And I love that in Europe too. You get a lot of, this is what grew in our garden today, so this is what we're serving.
Exactly.
They even had that at the JW Marriott in Orlando I stayed at once, where we could go out to their garden and see what they were growing that they were using in the food they were feeding us. And I was surprised to see that at a major chain in a touristy town. That's, I think, another thing to keep in mind, no matter where you're going, is looking at what their concerns are. I remember reading an article about Palawa that you signed a pledge when you visited that said, I promise to take care of this land, this nation, this area as if it's my own, because I recognize there are people who call this home. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, just it's an eye-opening. You're not just on vacation, popping in, popping out. It is their home, somebody's home. And anything you can do to not be that selfish tourist that, again, leaves junk on the beach or leaves the water running in the shower when they're not in there for 20 minutes or opens the slider glass doors while the AC is running. I used to own beach properties and that was my peeve. But you just can't keep up and the AC will freeze and the unit will freeze up and then you'll have no AC. So all of it, in the end, be selfish if that's what it takes for you to be aware. There are such little things you can do throughout the trip that make a big difference.
No, absolutely. And I love that, signing the pledge and saying that was worded so well. That's such a neat thing. I don't know if I've seen that before.
Yeah. I think New Zealand was considering it. I don't know if they ever did, but Palawa did. Oh. And there are travel specialists that will tell you if you don't want to do all the research into it. I had a friend actually email me today. They want to plan a trip to Greece, just looking for any advice on it. And step one for me was when and exactly where. They're looking at summer. And I said, I just got to be honest. It's just going to be overwhelming. I like it so much more in late September, October, or April. She teaches at a school. That's just when she has off. Yep. So she's got to go. My suggestion was work with a tour group, yep, a travel agent, because there are going to be so many options and things that you may, the flights, the hotel, whether everything could be overrun, and you just want to have someone you can call when things go sideways. But you can tap into their resources as well for what's most eco-friendly, what's most sustainable.
And even when you have that option to pick when you're going to go, going in that shoulder season that we've talked about, the off season, not only will net you a better deal, but you're helping sustain the community that doesn't have as much tourism income during that part of the year. So you are literally putting money into their pockets when you visit off season, and you're saving as well, which is another way to think holistically and sustainably about the community. Another thing is just making sure that you involve your kids. If you're picking a LEED certified hotel, tell the kids you did it and why and what they do that's cool and involve them in it, because the travel lust and wanting to travel is only getting stronger and stronger. I see it even more in my kids than myself, and I love going places. So building that next generation of eco-friendly travelers who are going to keep things nice for the next generation after that is so important.
I agree with that. And I think that is a learning lesson. My impression of a lot of older travelers are like, when you go to eat organic, oh, it's so much more expensive. Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't have to be more expensive, and it can still be very fun. It doesn't have to inconvenience you in any way. Yep. And that's what so many people will. I don't really look at it because in the end, how does it really matter to me? And you're right. We're going to be long gone when it really takes its toll. It's going to be our kids and our grandkids who have to deal with the repercussions, in my opinion. So telling them, look, I'm making this choice to go here instead of here. It's going to cost us another, maybe it's $10 more. And I'm making these choices because of XYZ. People, I feel like they see such an extreme. Oh, okay. You're the crunchy mom. You're the one. No, it doesn't have to change your trip drastically.
Yep.
But little changes may add up to big changes ultimately.
It's all about awareness. A lot of people still do believe that anything eco-friendly is punitive. You're going to pay for it. You're going to suffer for it. You're going to not have as good of an experience for it. And more people are ultimately selfish. They don't want to suffer. They want to enjoy themselves, especially on vacation. So anytime that you can give them a better story and make it seem rewarding instead of punitive, it's going to end up better.
And it's 100%. So baked in now. I feel like you can find it without having that extreme of price that some people are expecting. And perhaps some of them just didn't realize that. Maybe they looked into it years ago when it was becoming a thing and it was so much more expensive. Now we just have to remind them that things have changed and a lot of people are veering in this direction so they can look at it again and it will not necessarily be more expensive. Okay, well, I think that is the quick wrap on sustainable and eco-friendly travel and just being in touch with why you're making the decisions you are and talking about them so that we can continue to travel for many years to come and leave things pretty and undamaged for the next generation. Thank you so much for joining. We'll be back next week with a different travel topic.
Happy travels.
This has been another episode of Time to Talk Travel, brought to you by #travels.com. You can keep in touch with us between episodes by checking out our site, joining our newsletter, or connecting with us on social. We've always got the information you need in our episode notes. Until next time, happy travels, and thanks for being a part of our trip.